When I was 21 years old, that's just ridiculous. I started when I was 21 years old. I'm 54 today. Well over 30 years of pastoring has taught me something. In every family, no matter how good they look on the outside, there is some level of dysfunctionality. Every family. Every family. You're Pastor Monty, what about you? You're the pastor. Conjunction, junction, lots of dysfunction. The reality is that we live in a sin-cursed world. We live in a broken world. We live in a world that needs the redemption of Christ. And because of that condition, we all find ourselves imperfect. My wife told me one time that women always act out of guilt. And I think that's true. That women all, men don't do that, by the way. How many guys, you know, that's true? We don't feel bad about anything. Yeah, I know. Okay, let's stop right there. But anyway, women tend to act out of guilt. And sometimes there's a sense of guilt that I haven't done enough, haven't been good enough, haven't succeeded enough, haven't. Or there's an idea sometimes among moms especially, well, if only I had done this, if only I had done that, if only I had potty trained them before they were 12, if only... might be a good idea, but if only, those things are kind of regrets that we have sometimes. Ladies, I want to encourage you, because one of the moms that is often presented in the Bible as exemplary, and she was a good example, she was also fundamentally very dysfunctional. Your Bibles are open to 2 Timothy. The book of Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes to young Timothy, who became his preacher boy and ultimately became the pastor of the church at Ephesus. In the book of Acts, chronologically, we meet Timothy for the first time in Acts chapter 16. You'll recall from our Bible study, those of you who come on Wednesday night, that the Apostle Paul, in his first missionary journey, had traveled with Barnabas. They were traveling buddies in that journey. John Mark had come along with them, but John Mark, for whatever reason, he abandoned them at Pamphylia. He kind of flaked out. He left the crowd and left Paul and Barnabas alone. They completed their journey, came back to Antioch. There were some things that went on with the Jerusalem Council. All of you know that from Acts chapter 15. And then they decided, Paul did, we're going on another journey. And Barnabas said, good. Hey, Paul, you know, I know my cousin flaked out on us last time, but I think my cousin John Mark, let's bring him again and see what happens. And Paul said, no, not bringing him. He was a disgrace, and he was, in the words of President Trump, he was a disgrace. He was a horrible disgrace. He was awful. He left. He did. No, we're not bringing him. And Barnabas said to Paul, come on, Paul, give him another chance. Paul, why do you have to be so hard-nosed? And Paul said, no, we're not. The Bible says in Acts chapter 15, the end of the chapter, that the contention was so sharp between them that they divided. Here's Barnabas, who was a good man, more prominent initially than the Apostle Paul. Paul later rose to prominence in the early church. They separated from one another. Well, what happened? Barnabas took his cousin. They went to Cyprus, the place they were from. And then Paul took Silas, and they journeyed on a second missionary journey, though going a different direction from how they'd gone before, and they met Timothy. Now, they had met Timothy on the first missionary journey, but there's no real mention, there's no real mention of him, but they met Timothy again, and Paul looks at this young man, Timothy, and he says, Timothy, I'd like you to travel with me. Now, we're in the book of 2 Timothy, and we learn something about Timothy's family. Look, if you will, please, in verse number 2. He says, Paul says to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, and that means son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from Christ Jesus our Lord. And then drop down, if you will, to verse number 6. He's reminding something, well, verse number 5. He's reminding Timothy of some things about his family. He says this, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned, the word unfeigned means sincere, the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. Now pause there for a moment. We have three characters in that verse. We have Timothy, who now by this time is a pastor. He's the pastor of the church at Ephesus. Timothy was the man that Paul took in Acts chapter 16 and said, hey, you're going to go along with me and Silas on the second missionary journey. We have Timothy. We have Paul reminding Timothy that he came from a godly heritage. His mother, Eunice, was a believer. I'll get into that in a moment. And his grandmother, Lois, was also a believer. And so Paul says, Timothy, remember where you come from. Oh, well, Pastor Monty, look at Lois and the grandmother. And look at Eunice, why these people are dedicated believers. And therefore, their entire family background is spotless. Don't think that for a minute. In fact, Timothy's family background was greatly flawed in a theological way. I'll get there in just a moment. But God, and here's the miracle. Here's what I want every mom in this room to see. God overrides our inadequacies. May I make a statement, moms? Well, Pastor Monty, if only I'd done this, this, and this. Listen carefully. The grace of God undertakes for the failure of parents. By the way, young people listening in this room, can I give you a word? Your parents are not perfect. Teenagers are wanting to say amen, but they're not. However, when you become parents, you will not be perfect either. And there will come a point in time when you will admire your parents for the effort. There may come a point in time when you say, wow, I'm amazed they even tried. Sometimes say that about some kids and their parents. But anyway, Eunice was not a perfect mom. But God's grace overcomes that in the lives of our children. Timothy, by this time, by the writing of 2 Timothy, he is now a pastor with some years' experience under his belt. He'd been the traveling companion of the Apostle Paul. He rises to be one of the most prominent leaders of the early church. And yet Timothy, in a moment, I'll show you, came from a dysfunctional family. Now you say, wait a minute, Pastor, what of that? Okay, first I want you to see this, that God honored Eunice's faith, that God honored her faith. Verse number 5, Paul talks about this. The faith that is in thee, Timothy, in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, okay? In other words, three generations of faith. We said, Pastor Monty, what? How can this be? The gospel is a new thing. Here's what I believe, that Lois, the grandmother, was an observant Jew who believed the promise of the coming Messiah. Now, I want every person in this room to listen. Whether it was Old Testament or New Testament, the only way that anyone was ever saved was by grace through faith. No one has ever been saved by keeping the law. No one has ever been saved by having a pile of rules that they adhere to. That is not salvation. Salvation comes when you believe. You say, Pastor Monty, what do you have to believe? In the Old Testament, they believed in the promise of God that he would send his Messiah. The Bible says of Abraham, for example, that Abram believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. In Romans chapter 4, Paul emphasizes that a person is saved, a Jew in the Old Testament, was not saved by keeping the law. A Jew in the Old Testament was saved by believing the promise that God would send his Messiah. In other words, Lois was a believing Jew. In the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul makes it very clear, they are not all Israel who are of Israel. Not everyone who is a Jew by blood is a Jew by new birth. What makes the difference? A person is saved, Old or New Testament, when they put their faith in the promise of God. In the Old Testament, it was a faith that looked forward and said, I believe that God will send his Messiah. Abram had that kind of faith, and the Bible says he was justified by faith. In the New Testament, we look back and we say, I believe that God fulfilled his promise in sending the Messiah in the person of Jesus Christ. That I believe that he died for me, that he shed his blood for me, that he took my place on the cross. And the moment you believe is the moment you are saved. No one is ever saved apart from personal belief in Christ. So, well, Pastor Monty, I was baptized as an infant. It makes no difference. Apart from personal faith in Christ, no one is saved. The Bible says this, Paul, Ephesians 2, for by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Salvation is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's nothing I can do to work my way to heaven. My salvation is secure. Because I placed my faith in Christ, I've believed upon him. I've cast myself upon him for his mercy and for his grace. Now, Lois was a believer. I believe she was a converted saint of the Old Testament. And she had taught Eunice in the Old Testament faith. And likely Eunice at a very early age believed in the promise of the Messiah and therefore was what we would call a Christian in the Old Testament sense. Well, wait a minute now, Pastor Monty, but Paul says they're believers. Here's what happened. They believed in Christ after hearing the gospel message. So watch this. Have you ever thought about this? There was a whole generation of Jewish people who were believers in the promises of the Old Testament, who when Christ died and they heard the gospel, all of a sudden they came in contact with the fulfillment of the promise. They were saved by faith in believing the promise. They lived to see the fulfillment of the promise. Listen carefully. And all of those who heard the saving gospel turned to Christ because their heart was open. They had already trusted him. This was a transition period. I think at least Lois, and likely Eunice, was one of these. They had come to faith in Christ, perhaps through the preaching of the Apostle Paul. God honored her faith. Upon hearing of the Messiah, then, all genuine Jewish believers would accept him. Now, there were many who did not, but they were not Jewish believers anyway. They were simply blood Jews. Faith is central, then, to a mother's heart and character. And it is the real influence of life. Lois taught her daughter Eunice about the Orthodox Jewish faith. And Eunice taught Timothy about that faith. And then they came to faith in Christ as the fulfillment of God's promise. The very best thing that could happen in this room is for someone who is not a Christian to say, today I want to come to faith in Christ. I want to believe upon him. Now, does being a Christian make you a perfect... I'll just ask the audience. Does being a Christian make you a perfect mom, yes or no? No, by no means. But it certainly puts you in the right direction. Paul says, Timothy, remember the great faith of your grandmother Lois, your mother Eunice. Timothy, you have a unique and blessed legacy of faith. But there's something else I want you to see. God also honored her, not just for her faith, we're speaking of Timothy's mom, Eunice, but he also honored her in spite of her failure. Take your Bible now, everyone, turn to Acts 16, Acts chapter 16. Well, Pastor Monty, Lois is lifted up as a great heroine of faith, whose faith was an example to the pastor Timothy, yes. But Eunice is never mentioned as a person who was perfect. She was a woman of genuine faith. Paul makes that very clear. But she was also a woman who had made poor choices in her youth. What? Yeah. Eunice made a singularly poor choice. Now wait a minute. Look this way. God has a way of overriding by his grace your poor choices. I want every mom to hear this. Our God is bigger than your choices. Oh, but Pastor Monty, when I was young, if only I'd done this, this, and this. Okay, listen, that is water under the bridge. And any person in this room can have regrets, but regret is no place to live. Where I want to live is in the presence of a God who is so big that he can take my regrets and turn them around to his greater glory, and that is precisely what he did in regard to Eunice. Look, if you will, with me, Acts chapter 16, verse number 1. This is Paul with Silas beginning the second missionary journey. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra. Behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy. He had converted to Christ. The son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. Now watch this. That's Eunice. That's Timothy's mom. Timothy's mom was a Jew, and by the way, a believing Jew. But then she believed on Christ. Now she recognizes Jesus as Messiah. Timothy was converted perhaps at the same time, maybe under the influence of his newly converted mother. We don't know all of the detail, but Eunice has come to Christ as her Savior. She is a different person by faith in Christ. She's a Jewish. She believed. Look at the end of the verse. But his father, Timothy's father, was a what? A Greek. What? Think with me for a moment. Eunice had embraced the faith of her mother Lois, the Judaism of her mother Lois. Paul makes it very clear. But there came a point in time, perhaps in Eunice's youth, when she decided to do something that was overtly against the Jewish faith. She decided to date a Greek. His name's not given in Scripture, but I like to call him Alex the Greek. Can you imagine the angst that Lois, and if her husband were still living, I just follow this. Can you imagine the angst that they had in their daughter dating an uncircumcised heathen? That was considered something so horrible among Orthodox Jews that if a relationship like that were to blossom into marriage, often Jewish people would disown their own children. By the way, that is true of the Orthodox Jew today. If they marry outside the faith, sometimes they get disowned. If they convert to another faith, Christianity, for example, there are some who will hold a funeral for that child. They're very, very strict about this matter. Can you imagine the go-around that Lois, the grandmother, had with Eunice, Timothy's mother? They were mother and daughter. Can you imagine the go-arounds they had, the struggle they had? His father, Lois's husband's never mentioned. If he were still alive, doubtless he would have been probably an Orthodox Jew. What in the world is our daughter doing dating this uncircumcised Philistine? What is she doing dating this Greek, this heathen, this pagan? I'm going to tell you something right now. Reading between the lines and understanding the Jewish sentiment, Eunice broke her mother's heart. Pastor Monty, she's dating a Greek. It's all over. Any Greeks in the room? Yeah, I guess I can keep preaching. Okay. She's dating a Greek. It's all over. It's done. Nothing will ever come of this. You look at me, look at me. There is a God in heaven whose grace and plan is bigger than anything you could possibly imagine. And while Eunice should not have gone out in rebellion against the Jewish law and dated outside the race and outside the faith, and Jews were required to keep that very pure, while she should never have done that, and while that is a big deal according to the Old Testament law of Moses, there is a God in heaven whose grace is big enough to override her mistakes. Moms, listen to me. You were not perfect, but God's bigger than your mistakes. So I'm going to be frank with you. The God of the Bible honored Eunice in spite of her failure. In her youth, Eunice broke her mother's heart. She married outside the faith. This was considered a great sin. Lois probably figured that Eunice would never be right with God again. A lot of moms think that sometimes. Pastor Monty, you know, if I'd have done better, my kids wouldn't be so wayward, and now they're wayward, and they'll never get right again. You listen to me. Don't you know that God is bigger than that? That the same God who saved you can save them? The same God who brought circumstances to bear into your life to bring you to a saving knowledge of Christ, that he can do the same thing? Where's our faith sometimes? Where's our faith? Eunice had problems as a young lady, but apparently at one point or another, she got right with God. How do you know? Paul extols her faith. But she got right with God after marrying Alex the Greek. She got right with God after marrying him. This, by the way, has a lot to do with chapter 16 of the book of Acts. She got right. God had a way of turning over mistakes into his grace. There was an older generation, some who would be concerned about things such as illegitimacy. And we're not endorsing that by any means, okay? But I've seen God never take an attitude. By the way, tune into what I'm about to say. Never take an attitude toward anyone. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. There's not a person in this room that's better than anybody else. Well, Pastor Monty, so-and-so, that he was born out of wedlock in the old-fashioned term, and by the way, in the Bible term, is the word bastard. Don't ever say that of a child. God can take someone from any background and by his grace make him a trophy. Hear what I just said? That does not endorse illegitimacy. People should get married and then have kids. That's the Bible way. But the kids that are the product of something else less functional, those kids are precious in the sight of God. Those kids are sometimes the kids that God decides to reach down and save and transform and use in ways that are more marvelous than anything that we could possibly imagine. Every child has value in the eyes of God, and in spite of the failure of Eunice, in spite of her marrying outside of her faith and marrying this man who was a Greek, and by the way, he wasn't even a convert to Judaism. He was a pagan heathen Greek. He never converted. Pastor, how do you know? Because he had forbidden Timothy from being circumcised. I'll talk about that in a moment. God has a way of taking our mistakes and turning them into a blessing. At some point, Eunice got right with God. Paul extols her faith, but in her youth somewhere she went astray, disappointed her parents, broke her mama's heart. God also honored her efforts. Now take your Bible, turn back to 2 Timothy. I want you to see this. So we understand there was a moment in Eunice's youth where she went the wrong direction, but God honored her efforts. You're in 2 Timothy. I want you to turn to chapter 3, please, and look at verse number 14. 2 Timothy 3, verse 14. Paul is admonishing Timothy, the young pastor of the church at Ephesus, and he says to Timothy, he says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Now look at what Paul says about Timothy, another glimpse into his home life. "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." God honored her efforts. What are her efforts? Timothy, from a child, knew the Bible. Now, his mom, Eunice, she wasn't perfect. She'd married this Greek. And probably her Greek husband had, in fact, certainly her Greek husband had greatly limited her ability to influence spiritually. And some very key things I'll talk about in a moment. But Eunice took the opportunity still to teach young Timothy the scripture. If Timothy knew the scripture from a child, he did not learn it from his daddy. His daddy was a Greek. He learned it at the knee of his mother, who said, "I'm going to do everything I can to inculcate the truth into young Timothy." Eunice taught Timothy the scriptures. Her character confirmed her teaching. She was a good woman. She'd made mistakes, but she was a good woman. And she was all alone in this. There are an awful lot of people who think that kids can't turn out unless the family is like Leave It to Beaver. How many remember Leave It to Beaver? I love Leave It to Beaver. I love Ward. Ward Cleaver was the unquestioned authority in that home. The male influence who was strong, who was reasonable, who was rational. He was the one who had Wally and the Beaver under control. When Ward was gone, things broke loose, and that's how we have a storyline. But I also love June. Wasn't June a classy lady? June always wore pearls. She would wear heels and pearls even when vacuuming. I so wish we could return to those halcyon days of American greatness when men were men and women were women. By the way, I do wish we could return to that. When men were men and women were women and America was great and America was strong and children were silent. What a great age in which that show was filmed. Some people have the idea that unless they have that kind of pristine home, nothing good can ever come of it. Very, very different. The efforts of Eunice in the face, listen carefully, of a home that was divided spiritually. The Greek husband had no interest. Eunice's efforts paid off. Listen to me, Mom. You do what you can do for God and watch God multiply it in the heart of a child. "But Pastor Monty, there's no hope because my husband is such a slouch." There's a lot of hope because there is power in the scripture. Two places, Corinthians and Peter, We're told that if a woman is married to an unbelieving spouse, that she actually has a sanctifying effect upon the whole family. That her godly influence is something that cannot be turned off, nor can it be overflooded by the ungodliness of the husband. She is encouraged, stay with the marriage, even though he's unsaved, because you have an influence. You can deliver your children because of the influence of the Scripture. You hear me and hear me well. Nothing is more powerful than the Word of God in the life of a child. Teach the child the Scripture. God honored Eunice for her efforts. She did exactly that. And I think, and I'll just mention this in closing, God honored her for her tears. God honored Eunice for her tears. Pastor Monty, where do you get that? Well, you'll need to turn back to Acts chapter 16, because there's something else significant. Acts chapter 16, verse number 1, the Bible reveals to us that Eunice had married outside of the faith, that Timothy's father was a Greek. Speaking of Timothy, in verse 2 it says, he was well reported by the brethren that were in Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him. So Paul's thinking, I'm going to take Timothy. Timothy will take the place of John Mark. Timothy's going to be my sidekick along with Silas. We're going to have a nice missionary journey. Him would Paul, I'm at verse number 3, him would Paul have to go with him, and took, now listen to this, he took Timothy and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew that his father was a Greek. That's weird. Timothy is now a young man. It was typical for a male child to be circumcised on the eighth day in the Jewish community. He had never been circumcised as an infant. You say, well, no, wait a minute, Pastor. Eunice was a practicing Jew for sure by that point in time, and she never had Timothy circumcised. Why didn't she? I'll give you a hint. His father was a Greek. And the way that is worded in the Greek New Testament is not just talking about he was of Grecian origin bloodline. It's talking about he was an unbeliever. And the wording is such that it indicates that his father most likely forbade Timothy from being circumcised as an infant. He said, well, Pastor Money, okay, you know, big deal. Dad won that argument. Huge deal. You see, Eunice had grown up under Lois as an Orthodox Jew. Eunice understood the Old Testament that said every male is to be circumcised. And if a male is not circumcised, he can have no part in the congregation of Israel. From a standpoint nationally, though Timothy was taught in Jewish ways, he could never be regarded as a genuine Jew apart from circumcision. And I guarantee that the Scripture ran through Eunice's mind all the time. He's not really a Jew. He's not really part of the congregation. He'll be put out from among the children of Israel. I guarantee that ran through her mind. And I guarantee you this, that she argued with her husband about the matter. She made appeals to him. And he looked at her and he said, no. He said, we're not doing that. That's not Greek. The Greeks didn't practice circumcision at all. We're not doing that. I'm raising my son as a Greek. You can teach him that Old Testament, but we're not doing that. Can you imagine the tears? Folks, if you're a sincere Jewish woman, as was Eunice, the tears, the prayers, the God, please help in this situation. God, I stepped outside the faith, I've married, and now there's this huge debacle in my home. God, somehow fix it. Here's the miracle. God did fix it. Timothy converted to Christ. Lois and Eunice both came to Christ as their Savior. Timothy became a follower of Jesus, a disciple. Timothy is now serious enough minded in his faith to be asked by the great Apostle Paul, travel with me, come on with me. Oh, but wait, Timothy, there's an issue. Everybody knows you're not circumcised. That'll be offensive. Now, by the way, circumcision didn't get anybody to heaven. Paul was carrying letters from the church at Jerusalem that said, quite frankly, the exact opposite. He was promulgating those around, first at the church in Antioch, and then bringing the churches of Syria, and later even churches that would be founded in Asia, or pardon me, in Europe. He was bringing this word. It was not a matter of getting circumcised to be saved. It was simply a matter of not offending someone. See, the Jewish people were very easily offended. Timothy wouldn't have much of an audience if he were a Jew but had never been circumcised. What is this? A Jew never circumcised, but Paul took care of that matter, Acts chapter 16, and he could have an effective ministry. Now watch. Eunice had made a mistake. She married outside the faith. God, in his grace, answered her prayers because Timothy had converted to Christ. And I think, in a little bit of a late answer to prayer, Timothy then got circumcised. And God said this, Eunice, I am bigger than any mistake you've ever made. Moms, listen to me. No mom is perfect, but our God is bigger than those mistakes. And Eunice, at some point in time, simply committed Timothy to the hand of God. My dad died when I was in the seventh grade. He passed away. Our family was not a Christian family in any way, shape, or form. We never went to church. There's no interest in the Bible, nothing like that. After my dad's death, my mother told this story many years later. She told the story that after his death, she became really desperate to know how was she going to rear two. I have a twin brother. How would she rear two teenage boys? We were about to embark on our teenage years. How would she handle this? How would she go back to work? We became what was known then as latchkey kids. How would she go back to work? And how would all of this come together? And how would we have the money? And how would we survive? And all of these questions. She was not a saved person. She's not a Christian. She had no clear Christian background of any kind. She told me one time, years after the fact, she said, I was so desperate and so down. She said, I took the dog for a walk. We had a little poodle dog. So I took the dog for a walk in the woods. There's woods behind the house. And she said, I was so overcome with your dad's death and with the burden of responsibility that would now fall on my shoulders. She said, I got down on my knees in the woods. And she said, I said, God, help me. I'm giving my boys to you. Now, this is an unsaved woman, not a Christian. Can I tell you something? God hears those prayers. She told me this years later. God heard the prayers of this desperate woman. Later, we came to know Christ as our Savior. Later, we look back on all these things and you see the fingerprints of God. Pastor Monty, did you have a perfect childhood? No, I grew up in a single parent home, okay? Can I just tell you something about all of that? There is grace that is bigger than the brokenness of this world. I want to say that again. There is grace that is bigger than the brokenness of this world. Every mom in this room, just lay it at the feet of Jesus and see what he will do. Can you imagine the pride swelling up in Eunice's heart as she watches young Timothy enthusiastically packing for his trip with the Apostle Paul, about to embark on one of the most significant journeys ever undertaken in the New Testament that would frame ultimately the direction of the gospel to go to Europe, a journey that ultimately would be the foundation of the beginning of all of Western civilization, and her son had the opportunity to undertake that journey. And this little lady Eunice made a mistake when she was younger. She could now bask in the glow of the grace of God, who's big enough to overcome it all. Father, I pray that you'll help us today to see grace as perhaps we've never seen it before. Father, thank you for being so clear in the scriptures about the imperfections of some of the heroes of the faith, because, Lord, it gives us all a sense of hope. I pray you'll encourage every mom here. May they have a good Mother's Day today. May they be acknowledged by their children, by others. But Father, beyond that, may they bask in the wonderful grace of God. Use your word, we pray this morning, in Jesus' name. Let's stand together, please.